Welcome to another episode of the Sal and Bob Show podcast. We are live here in October studio. Well, live, we are live, but you're not listening to this live. I am comedian Sal D'Amelio. Across from me, again, at October Park Studio, is the one and only Bob Phillips.
How are you, Sally?
How you doing tonight, man?
I couldn't be doing better, man. It's been a good day.
Great day.
Yeah, this is a Sunday. The Lions got their asses handed to them, but
as
that's
usual,
par
just
for the course.
Usual Sunday. So
yeah,
nothing
but
changed.
You and I are coming off a lot of work, a lot of shows over the past
weekend.
Couple weeks. The busy
last
weekend,
couple weeks, yeah.
And we're going to be talking about that. So yeah, it's good to be doing another recap show with you, having some wine. Always a great time.
Yeah,
here with
absolutely.
You.
Anything special going on in your life, or anything that are you getting your supplies at the stores? Are you finding you got toilet paper in the house? I mean,
you know what? Everybody keeps talking
the world
about
is
this.
Ending. So do you have anything?
It's ending again, right? It's ending for the third time. What a bunch of nonsense. I'm one of these guys. I don't go to the same store all the time. I don't know why. I hit like three or four stores.
Yeah.
Grocery stores, you know, and then there's one that's like,
Cause you like to get, you know, your steaks at one store.
Yeah.
Maybe your essentials at another store.
Yeah. And I
just
read
get everything at Speedway. So, okay. No, I'm just kidding.
gas station fruit just hits different, doesn't it? Right? You're like, I mean, I know it's a banana, but it's in a gas station.
Nothing's out
You're
of
like,
stock at Speedway. I don't know who their distributor is.
Yeah,
they must have a little side boat off of the water in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah,
where they get their shit. You know,
Speedway has a special like cigarette boats. supplying them from off the pier. I haven't seen any shortages, and I guess. There are certain pockets of the country, yeah, but I haven't seen anything. And you know what it is? I think what it is, Sal, it's more bullshit. It's more hype. It's more nonsense. It's just like
it could be, but they showed a picture of those cargo ships out in the. Did you see that picture?
Yes, I did.
It looked like Jobby Nooner out there. You know what I mean?
That is so funny.
I said that one last night. It killed.
Oh, that's so great.
In Lexington.
In Lexington, yeah, because everybody knows what Jobby Nooner is. Okay.
Just
now,
explosion.
for our non-Michigan listeners, explain to people what Jobby Nooner is.
Well,
that's so funny.
Is it, the St. Clair Shores out there? Is that where it's at? St. Clair?
Yeah, it's in Lake St. Clair.
Lake St. Clair, and it's just a huge weekend party of boats out there and...
Well,
sandbar.
It's a weekday. It's a weekday.
It is a weekday? I thought it was a weekend.
Yeah, Jobby Nooner, I think it's on a Friday, and people leave work at noon and go out on the lake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I knew it was something to do with a huge amount of boats out on a lake.
Not just boats. Other, like, improvised flotation devices. But the point is to be on the water and drunk at noon, right?
Yeah.
Because you've taken a day off work.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it just hit me when I saw that picture.
So yeah, all these freighters, all these container ships. Yeah, it did look like Jobby Nooner just hanging around out there, nothing to do.
Nate, there you go. That's a meme for you. We can take that picture.
Yeah, our producer Nate Armbrust, a very funny comedian. By the way, he's going to be on the show with us at the next Sal and Bob Live at Janitti's in Northville, Michigan.
Yes, he is, and I'm actually working with him at One Night Stands this weekend.
That's
right. Until later, but might as well. October 21st to the 23rd.
Yeah.
At one of our favorite clubs, our favorite boy, Mike Green out there, and Katie and the crew, and I can't wait to go out there, but,
you're gonna have a great weekend, and with Nate opening up for you, you're gonna blow up. And, Nate is really good with the social media where you and I are, you know, not so good with it. I do Twitter, I do Facebook. I don't know how to create a meme. He's the guru for us, right?
Dude, creating a meme for me would be like a project I had in high school, you know? Like a paper mache product. I can't think.
Do you remember AutoShop where you had to take apart and then reassemble the lawnmower engine?
I would skip that
class.
I didn't do nothing close on that
shit.
I'd like, can I just disassemble a Pez dispenser? I'd rather.
That was complicated enough. What happens to all the candy? Oh, it fell on the floor. Oh, we're so lame.
Maybe you can get a Pezzas. But here's my take, though, on this product thing. They said Black Friday might be the worst Black Friday of all time. So what are people going to do? Just rush through those doors to try to go get
one thing? You mean a shortage of product?
Yeah, there's nothing in the stores. What are there going to be people
buy something else. Calm down.
You know, people are going to be waiting to crash through those Walmart doors to get, what, three things off the shelf?
I mean, yeah, calm down.
I think it'll be better than that. I mean, like you said, I think maybe they said they're working 24/7 right now on those. Yeah. Those cargo ships. So they're going to get stuff out.
I know that it's a real issue because I wanted to buy a car back in July. And the car I wanted, I couldn't get it because there was a microchip shortage.
Yeah, they said that's a big issue.
And so I was put on a wait list until January. So, yeah, there is that. There are definitely shortages in the supply chain for a bunch of products. I haven't seen it in the grocery chain.
I mean, prices are going up a little bit, but that's just because of the demand is high. You know, we're kind of coming out of this pandemic. People are spending their money a little bit more. Yeah. They're going out a little bit more. So there's always going to be a high demand for a little bit. That'll all flatten out, I think, you know. But right now, you know what's interesting? The biggest increase I saw, like bacon's up like 30% or something like that.
Right, steaks. Yeah, hogs, right?
But you know what the biggest increase is? Washing machines. 62% higher.
A demand, or they can't?
I don't know. There might be chips in those things too.
Yes, you are absolutely right, sir.
You know,
because they're smart washing machines. Yes.
How much does a washer cost 2 years ago?
Right.
Three. I mean, usually you get the washer and dryer together.
Right. You don't buy one and then the other, unless. But, you've had one for a couple of years.
$400 get a good washer, I guess, back in the day.
How much?
$300-$400.
Yeah, they're a little more now. I just paid $900 and $1,100. The dryer was $900. The washer was $1,100. And they were sort of middle of the road. But you know what? They're all programmable now. So yes, they have.
Probably that's what it is.
Yeah, it's all. The world is reliant on microchips.
Jeez. Well, that's.
And you know what's causing the shortage? I figured out. Yeah. I figured out what's causing the shortage, though. It's all the microchips that Bill Gates is putting in the vaccines. That's why we have a shortage.
Yeah.
We have microchips in us, but not enough for our washing machine.
So that's a good point. So we don't need them for the cars anymore. They're in us. So why don't they just make the cars, get them to the dealers? This stuff's all going to end up. We're going to be fine. January 2022, which is only, can you believe we're almost at the end of 2021?
Yes, and this, and by the way, this marks the Sal and Bob 3-year anniversary.
Yeah, about right now.
It's a little past that, yeah. But we're beyond 3 years. We've been doing this for 3 years, buddy.
It's great. Like,
what do we give each other for 3 years? Is it like lace or gold or paper? That's you know, what's
lace? We got to go to the strip club.
Well, you brought a bottle of wine over, so that's we're good there.
Well. It's been a great ride, man. I've been enjoying the show, and I enjoy doing it.
And by the way, our listenership is up like crazy.
Yeah, we got a little bump.
Yeah, it's up like 60% in the last week.
We're up just like the products are. Just like the bacon.
Because
we are up like bacon.
Cars, bacon, and the Sal and Bob have a shortage of microchips.
Oh my God! So
By the way, can I say this?
Yeah.
Calm down, people, about the Christmas shortage, all right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a story.
Pumpkin spice will be available at Starbucks.
It's going to be available. Yeah, relax. Yeah. And whatever the hot thing is.
Why can't there be a shortage of that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. That just keeps going on. But I'm going to tell you a quick little story here of young Robert Phillips at 10 years old, okay? This is 1971.
Okay.
All right. No, 1972. I don't know. I can't do the math now. I'm a little drunk. We've had wine.
I was five.
You got to learn to live with a little bit of scarcity. All right. And my mother taught me this lesson in 1972. She came to me and she said, now my dad became a big success later on in life. Had a very successful business that I worked in and was a great provider for his family. But early on, we were busted. I mean busted for years. Second, third mortgage on the house. you know, sometimes the lights were off and we didn't understand it as a kid. Like, well, why are the lights off? Why aren't the neighbor's lights off, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Well, my mother came to me, and this is an absolutely true story. My mother was from Newfoundland, which was settled by the Irish years ago.
Yeah.
And so they had this little accent, this little Irish, little Canadian, eh, right? And she comes, I'm 10. She says, Bobby, listen, it's Christmas time, and Santa doesn't have a lot of money this year, so you can only ask for one thing. All right?
Okay.
Here's my first lesson in scarcity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's okay, Mom. What, you know? And she goes, I want you to think about this. It's only one thing. What do you want? And in my 10-year-old brain, I said, how about walkie-talkie? She goes, that's two things. Right? I mean, that's a...
Yeah.
She wasn't wrong.
That's right? Great. Yeah, and you get one talkie-talkie, you're going to be... You're going to be like, who's the other? Who am I going to talk to?
Yeah. You can't have a talkie and a talkie. You have to have a walkie and a talkie.
That's awesome.
So, you know, people calm down. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. You're going to be able to get your, well, what's going to happen is, I mean, not to get into it, but I had to go to a celebration of life, for a really cool gentleman that I knew, who passed away a couple months ago, Richard. We called him PETA and, you know, rest in peace, buddy. You're a good guy. But anyway, a guy told me there, he goes, well, I got two kids and I'm just going to go get their Christmas gifts like now. Okay.
Oh,
now what that said to me was if you get 20 million people saying the same thing.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have,
you create another shortage
shelves in November 1st.
Uh huh.
You know, so anyway, that might happen.
So then it's
everybody goes shopping before Halloween.
So on November 1st, it's going to be like it is for you and I on December 24th.
Correct.
That's when we go shopping.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen early. We're going to be walking around the mall going, okay, I guess I have to get her a pretzel.
Yeah, there's going to be nothing left. I mean, you're right. I do shop on December 24th.
Oh, I've done it.
I hope there's not a gift card shortage. I really need to get those gift cards.
There's never a gift card, George. That's in every, that's in grocery
stores. Are there
chips
in those? I mean.
Oh, you know what? I don't think it's a good point. There's a magnetic strip.
Oh,
maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's a chip in them.
Well, your family needs to get those $10 gift cards for you, but,
$10 gift card, people. That's the name of my latest CD available on Tour
really
Record. Thank
plug.
You for
There's
the plug.
Plug. No problem. That's
Thank
what
you.
I'm get, here
yeah,
for.
Download it on iTunes, wherever great, comedy C or good comedy CDs
yeah.
are sold.
And, so anyway, we're trying to say everybody have a good holiday season. Don't let it freak you out. First of all, we got Halloween first. So don't even, we got Thanksgiving, we got Halloween, then Christmas. Enjoy your holidays. Cause you know what? We only get so many times around the sun. So you know what? Enjoy it. So enjoy this Halloween that we got coming up. And,
I'm going to enjoy this Halloween because,
I think it's on a Sunday this year.
Is it? I don't know what night
it is,
but all three
Halloween's
of my grandsons are into it. They understand it now.
So they're getting older.
So,
right?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
it's
that's cool.
You know, they're 6 and 5 in a year and a half.
That's perfect.
So,
yeah, that's my nephews are 7 and 6. So
yeah,
they're gonna really get into it this year.
It's so fun just to sit back and watch and remember when we were kids. Remember the magic of Halloween. You couldn't wait.
Couldn't wait, man.
For just for that
literally
that little
wait.
Bit of darkness to settle in. It was like 6 o'clock,
yeah.
6:30 on an October night.
It's a great feeling
because daylight savings time was over back then when you and I were growing up. Now they push it to what? November 1st.
Yeah, right around November, like right after Halloween, right? I used to, like, my favorite part of Halloween when I was a kid, while you're looking that up, I loved dumping the, whatever bag I was using, you know, whether it was a pumpkin thing or a regular bag. I couldn't wait to dump it out onto the carpet.
Oh,
you know,
it's joyous, wasn't it? November 7th, that's when daylight savings ends this year. So Halloween.
There's more daylight.
Yes, and I remember, see, it was over when we were kids, so it was darker earlier. And so I don't know if this is true, but there was, I heard this, maybe this is apocryphal, I don't know if it's real or not, but somebody told me years ago that the Candy Lobby, and that's a big lobby, I mean, you got M&M Mars, you got Hershey, this is billions of dollars.
Candy Lobby, what does that mean?
Well, any big industry has a lobby, a group of lobbyists that work in Washington on behalf of that industry, right? So
okay.
The Candy Lobby lobbied, you know, senators and congressmen years ago to push back the end of daylight savings time past Halloween because they could sell more candy.
There you go.
I don't know if that's true, but it's worth looking in on, right?
It makes sense. It makes sense.
So it ends November 7th this year. So it's going to be, you know, relatively light. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I don't remember any of my costumes, though, that I had. I think I was like Spider-Man one year. But I don't remember, I didn't give a shit about what I was. I wanted the candy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care about my costume. I don't know if you did.
I think when I was a little kid, like 6 or 7, I had some preference.
I
wanted to be Batman. But after that, I played baseball and football, so I would just wear my baseball outfit, right?
Yeah.
At 9 years old around the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, Jerry Seinfeld has the greatest Halloween bit of
all time.
Those are the masks and the costumes I wore. Ones that were all packaged together.
Yeah, that you got from the drugstore.
Absolutely brilliant.
With that shitty plastic band around the back that snapped.
That's what my mom did because, you know, they weren't going to buy.
That's what I got later on, too.
I was listening to Dr. Laura one day. And
is that recently?
Well, I was just listening.
Is she still on?
Yeah, she's still on, seriously.
Is she
Sometimes
really?
I get bored of
I
listening
didn't know
to
that.
So I'll listen to Dr. Laura.
No, is it Dr. Laura Schlesinger? Is that the one?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought she was off.
No, she's on there. She's like 75 years old. She's still going.
Right.
So she's on Sirius Radio like 4 hours a day.
Okay.
And sometimes I get bored from either sports radio or, you know, all the news stations and stuff. So I'll listen to Dr. Laura for a little bit. And she had this lady on, and this is hysterical. I don't know how I thought of this. Obviously, I thought of it because of Halloween. She literally sews. She has 4 grandchildren, and she sews their costumes.
Wow. Okay, that's dedication.
And the reason she called was that she sews these costumes. It takes her like hours and hours and hours. And three of the kids, so she calls the mother, and she says, you know, three of the kids, you know, called me to tell me what they wanted me to make, but the fourth kid hasn't called me yet. And that's what she was calling about. That's what her complaint was.
That was her complaint?
Was that the fourth. And Dr. Laura goes, then just don't make that kid anything. It was hilarious. I was cracking up. She's just like, then don't make that kid anything. He doesn't want anything made. Then don't do it.
Don't do it.
You're spending all your time, but she's like,
why do people even take the time to make that call? What is wrong with your life and your decision making process?
If you have to
call Dr. Laura to figure out that your grandchild is an idiot.
Dude, you want to feel good about your life? Listen to that show sometimes. The people that call up, you're just like, okay,
you know
my
what?
Life is good.
I used to get infuriated with it, right? But then I realized it's show business. So they screen these callers, and they want the people like that.
Yeah.
So that Dr. Laura can go off on them and go, what's the matter with you?
Correct.
If somebody calls in with a rational question and says, listen, you know, my daughter and her husband are divorcing. I want to be helpful. How do I, you know, help?
You get that.
There's no drama in that.
No, there's no drama, but you get a little bit of those. But yeah, you get the wacko ones mostly. They love that.
It's entertainment.
So, here's a plug for Dr. Laura. She owes us $550.
Yeah, she does.
So anyway, one of the things we want to talk about that we had, written down was we already plugged it. Well, we didn't plug yours. I'm doing One Night Stands. You are doing the new Traverse City Comedy Club in Traverse City, Michigan.
I can't wait for that. Yeah, and I keep hearing great things about that.
It's been packed from what I'm seeing.
It's been
selling
packed
out
for the last couple weeks.
So that's great. But
Michael Jeter and asked us to be on that show together as the Sal and Bob show, and you had another gig that was conflicting.
Well, I meant One Night Stands, so
that's why. One Night Stands. So
but you're doing it.
So
doing
I'm headlining,
yep.
And you're headlining One Night Stands.
Yeah, so it's a great weekend for us. But the point we wanted to make was that we're both doing clubs where we just got done doing a lot of bar gigs, one-nighters.
We're coming off
of the bar gig going into the club scene kind of thing. We wanted to kind of talk about
feels really good, right?
what the differences are, what kind of adjustments do you make, if there are any. I don't know. I mean, there's no adjustment in your act. There's no adjustment in that, but I guess you've got to, you know, at a comedy club, you're never going to deal with a television on. Right?
No.
You're never going to deal with a video game behind you.
No pool tables.
You might deal with a, I actually had that last night where, I don't know, these freaking people were drinking martinis like crazy. So the guy was blending up, you know, martinis.
Yeah.
And that bar was only about 50, 60 feet away from me.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you heard that, you know, once in a while. But you're not going to, more than likely, you're not going to deal with that at a comedy
no.
club. So there's different little nuances, little aspects of that.
That's a very good point. Let's start by talking about the difference between club work and one nighter work. Okay, so one nighters for people you know who are not in the biz or
want to know what it's like.
Yeah, it is exactly what it says. You're there for one night.
Correct.
And generally speaking, it's usually a bar. Or a restaurant, or some place.
Could be a banquet hall.
Could be a banquet hall. Could be an American Legion hall.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. We do a lot of VFWs. We do a lot of KFC halls, that kind of thing. So it's one night in the, and it's usually during the week, not necessarily on the weekend, but it's.
I mean, it can be on the weekend.
It can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the point of it is as a one nighter, you're there for one night and then you're gone and you're doing your act for 45 minutes or an hour and then boom, you're on to the next one. And you and I each have had a bunch of those over the last week and a half, which has been great because now we're ending this little period with going in doing club work.
Yep.
Which is, you know, different and more comfortable, and I don't want to say easier because no crowd is ever easy. You got to know what you're doing.
No,
but like you said in the lead up to this, the one nighters, you got more distractions, you got noise, you got televisions that you might not turn off, you got people playing pool that they might not tell them to stop.
What situation you're in. Some one nighters are very professional and they
exactly.
Show everything. I mean,
yes.
You don't know,
right?
But for the most part. There's going to be more obstacles, so to speak, on
yes.
what you're dealing with. Maybe
yes.
the lights aren't as good. The stage might not be as good.
Right, because it's only one night a month or every 2 months.
Correct. And they're fine gigs. Don't get me wrong. And a lot of times, I think merch sales are better at those gigs.
They are better.
You know?
Yeah.
They just are. You know, small towns, man, people are dying for entertainment. So where you're, you know, we're in Waterford. You're in a pretty big town, Traverse City. I know it's not like,
yeah.
you know, New York or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's a fairly big town in
sure,
Michigan with a lot of people,
yeah.
a lot of tourists, a lot of, you know, so anyway. A
couple hundred thousand people. Yeah.
So you're not, there's other things to do in that town besides, you know, see Bob Phillips, but that'd be the best thing to do in Traverse
well,
City.
Well, I think so. Thank you,
Sam. What are you going to do? You're going to go see,
what? Yeah,
pick
really.
A cherry tree? Or,
exactly.
Or go see Bob Phillips. You're gonna
come
just,
on. The cherries yeah. are gone. They're out of season, people.
I'm in Waterford. You brought up a good point. There's going to be no boats in the lakes this weekend.
Yep.
Everything's shutting down.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing that I think that would that our listeners might be interested in knowing about. Warmth and sun are the enemies of comedy. Okay.
Well, unfortunately it is. I mean, no matter
months,
who you are, no matter what, you know, where you're at. I mean, Mark
yeah.
Ridley's does less business in the
yes.
summer. One Night
yeah.
Stands does. Ann Arbor.
Now, Vegas,
Caroline's
California.
I mean,
different
well,
story.
Caroline's in New York. There's so many freaking people there. They might not be hurt by
yeah.
the summer. Right.
Right.
But if you're Traverse City.
Sure. That's a water community. They're
yeah,
on the water.
So you gotta, yeah, you got to take a look
so,
at that.
So as a comedian, you know, you and I and all the people we know and run with and Nate and all the other friends we have, everybody knows that the summer is, you know, it's a period of time you just get through, right?
Yeah.
The money isn't as good. The crowds aren't as big. It's just the way it goes. When, especially in Michigan, say Michigan, Wisconsin, parts of Ohio, Illinois around
yeah.
the Great Lakes, which is where we live. People have boats. People spend
mm-hmm.
a lot of time on the water and
going
they're not
to baseball
interested.
Games, going to concerts.
Yeah, they're not interested in going to a comedy club at 8 o'clock because the sun is still out,
mm-hmm.
right? They're on their boats. They're doing this thing. Well, now all that's shutting down. The crowds are getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's more fun for us. And so each of us has done, which is just sort of serendipity because we didn't plan it this way, but we did a ton of one-nighters approaching these club dates we're going to do.
Correct.
And so you go through these. Now, I got really lucky and had six one-nighters that were just blissful.
Yeah, for TDC.
Let's talk about that for a minute. TDC Comedy Productions, Karen and John Rayner. Mm-hmm. They do such a great job.
Their rooms are phenomenal.
They are. And people, because people know, look, this is what's going to happen. The rules are laid down. There's no bullshit. There's no heckling. I mean, here and there, but, mm-hmm. They know how to run a room. And so you're going into a good situation. Now, last night was, which was really funny. I wasn't allowed to talk about this before, but I did a 420 club up in Saginaw.
I did that a couple years ago. It's hysterical.
Did you get high? I got high.
You have to. You're literally in a billow of smoke in front of you.
The whole place. I mean, literally, there was 180 people.
Oh, wow. You had a big show.
We were packed out. There was SRO, right? And so maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe there was 160, but whatever it was, there was no empty seats. But everybody was smoking.
Yeah.
And of course, it's legal
in
Michigan.
It's so funny. You got to go outside to smoke cigarettes.
Isn't that ridiculous?
This is so funny.
They're literally passing joints around to each other. A guy offered me a joint during my set. He held it out. I'm like, no, dude, I'm working, right? But I have to, this is a no shitter. I have to take, now I have about 10 suits that I wear. They're all the same size. They're all the same color, the whole thing. But I have this one that I had tailored just a couple weeks ago to match the weight that I'm at. I have to take that to the dry cleaner tomorrow because it smells like weed. It
smells like Cheech and Chong.
It smells like I was hanging out, up in smoke. I was on the set of Up in Smoke. So anyway, it's a long way around saying it's a great gig. And those are the kind that's what's called a one-nighter.
Correct.
All right. Now,
correct.
they can be horrible, as all comedians have experienced. They can be really good. And I had the immense good fortune to do six in a row. And by the way, my feature for all these gigs was a kid named Brett Hayden. Very funny guy.
Yeah, very funny guy.
And you, now tell me about your one-nighters leading up to your club dates.
The one-nighters I did, I did a theater gig that's a one-nighter, so that's
right.
Different than mm-hmm. doing a bar gig.
But it's still a one-nighter.
It's still a one-nighter, but I did the Lexington, the Village Theater in Lexington, Michigan, which is kind of a little bit east of Port Huron, and it was a beautiful theater, and I can't thank those guys enough for bringing me in, and it was a lot of fun.
Place.
So that's a one-nighter. And then I did... I did a fundraiser for the Ladies Auxiliary of the Fire Department in Lima, Ohio. Good people down there. I always have a thing for firemen, man. I think they risk their lives for us and just like police officers. So I was happy to do that. I did two shows in a bar setting kind of thing. So those were great. Now, here's the other thing about one-nighters that, that I'll touch on at least. Is I had to get up. Now I also worked with Derek Richards on Friday, who likes to have a few cocktails after the show. Now I'm in my head, I'm going, okay, listen, I have to be in Lima, Ohio. So unlike a comedy club where you're just going to the hotel and you're working the same club the next night, you don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
When you do a bunch of one nighters in a row, you're driving the next day.
You're going somewhere
so
a couple hundred miles away.
Your car's got to be in good shape. You got to mm-hmm. be ready because you can't let the club down and get a flat tire. And not get there.
No. Uh-uh.
So I had to go from Lexington, Michigan to Lima, Ohio, which is only about 4 hours, total.
But I got to plan my day.
I got up in the morning. I actually stopped at home because my home is on the way to Lima. So I got to kind of, get a new set of clothes and all that and then just go off. Where if I wasn't going by my home, I would have to bring 2 days worth of stuff. But fortunately for me, it happened where I could stop at my place. But you're traveling, and then you're going down to, so I did two shows down in Lima, Ohio. So that's the difference, at least for me, my one-nighters that I did, where yours were a little spaced out a little bit. So that's the difference there. I mean, a lot of comedians listening right now, they know that, that you're right. You got to drive to another gig. It might be, sometimes your gig is 7 hours away.
Sometimes.
Now you got to get up at 8 in the morning to get there by 4
that's
so you
the
can
way
be
it
ready
goes.
For a show at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
or 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. Where when you're at a club for 3 days and you're at a hotel down the street from the club, or maybe you're even at the club, maybe they got an apartment up above the club, you're not moving for 3 days.
And
you
that's
can write,
a,
you
that's
can do
the
everything.
That's what we want. That's what we aspire to. Although we love the one-nighters because
we do them both.
I think it makes you a stronger comedian. Mm-hmm. They definitely do because of the the diversity of the crowds and the stuff that comes up that doesn't come up in a club setting. I would rather do, you know, like a Thursday through Saturday, a five show set at the same place, right?
Yeah, it's a lot easier on the gas, easier on everything.
And, it's easier on my brain because
it is. It wears you out driving and doing all
does.
That, stopping for gas and this.
Yeah,
and
sometimes.
That.
Yeah, well, what's the old, I forget who, I don't even know who said this, but people have said to us over the years, so, you know, what do you get paid for doing jokes? And I said, first of all, we don't get paid for doing jokes. We get paid to drive, right?
Right, about it.
I mean, and I'm just echoing that thing I heard, you know, 20 years ago when I got into this nutty business. You know, you're driving 5 hours to do 45 minutes, right? Sounds crazy, but.
But that's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, hey, look, if you're, you know, I was a salesman. I did sales work. I used to have to drive, you know, 4 hours for a meeting.
Sure.
You know? Sometimes the meeting was an hour long.
Uh-huh.
Drive 4 hours. And I would stay at a hotel because I didn't want to drive home and company's paying for that. And, you know, you're doing a lot for a 1 hour meeting. Now I'm doing a lot for a 1 hour show. It's
yeah.
The same. It's, we're a sale, we're, you know, truck drivers with jokes, right?
Very good analogy there. Truck drivers with jokes.
We just want to throw that out there today.
Have you ever done a rest stop, Sal?
I ever done a rest stop? No. I will not perform at a rest stop.
our friend Connie Ettinger.
I don't even stop at rest stops, although I slept at one.
God, they're
time.
Scary, aren't they? Our friend Connie Ettinger, in her intro all the time, years ago when I would open up for her, she said, you know, she's a favorite at rest stops across the Midwest.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't stop at too many rest stops, man. It's like, it's just too, I'd rather stop. I know I've mentioned this before.
There's enough gas stations that have restrooms.
I'd rather stop at a speedway. I'd rather, you know.
Yeah, why?
They got
who's stopping at rest stops anymore and why?
I don't know. I think they're just because they're convenient. They're right off that where, you know, maybe a speedway, you got to go a half a mile more.
I don't know.
The highway, you got to make the right.
I don't even know if I've actually stopped. I see them. I don't know that I've ever stopped.
Do you ever get out, like when you're driving these gigs and you say, all right, I got to pull over?
Yeah.
Do you ever, because you'll see the sign with this, with there's like six things on it, right? Like the sign on the highway, there's a speedway, there's a Chipotle, there's a, right? You see the three squares. I'll just see a gas station and I'll go, oh, okay, speedway. So I'll get off that highway. But then the speedway is like 3 miles to the right.
Yeah.
It pisses me off. I don't know if you've ever done that.
It happens
I'm
to me all the time.
To it.
Yeah, you're committed.
I'm like,
you
got to
go
3 miles.
And you're going,
way.
You better have a bathroom for a 6 mile round trip.
A 6 mile round trip is right. That's one of the little nuances, but
you know, the whole thing about, you know, I mean, look, people have listened to us for the last 3 years know that we like to talk about the sort of ins and outs of stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you like it, if you love it like we do, and whether you do it or not, or you just like to go to shows or it's just something you're interested in. You know, we like to kind of talk about the backdoor stuff, the insider stuff, right?
Absolutely.
And one of them is that the difference between one-nighters and a club weekend. Now, I'm so looking forward to these shows in Traverse City, because I did my time over the last week and a half at the one-nighters.
Correct.
To polish the new stuff. To take some chances and try, you know, and then when I get to unveil that, or that's kind of a, you know, that's a $10 word, unveil. When I get to do it for the first time in a club setting, I'm pretty sure because I've been doing this so long that it's going to work. Right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you've been working a lot. So, you know, it's all about repetition, right?
Yeah,
our
right.
business is about repetition, just like a baseball player is.
Very good point.
You know, you don't see too many missed ground balls in a baseball game because they're catching a lot of ground balls during the week, right?
Uh-huh.
So when you see a shitty error, you're like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Like when we forget a callback, it's an error, right?
There you go. There you go. And which I love baseball. And by the way, the Dodgers are playing Atlanta and the Boston Red Sox are playing Houston.
I hope Boston
it's kicks
the shit
that's
out
the
of
final
Houston.
Four. I knew the Dodgers would be there. I thought Tampa Bay would be there. I can't believe they didn't get. Anyway, it's Boston, Houston. Boston has just wiped Houston's ass here the last couple of days, but I'm going to say Houston still wins that series, and then I think
what is
Dodgers,
it at now? Is it 2-1?
2-1.
2-1 Boston.
I think Houston comes back, and I think the Dodgers will take Atlanta. Although Atlanta's really good, that's a great game.
They
great
are
series.
They are good, but you know
so,
I'm going to say
I love
this
the
about
World
Houston.
Series. Man.
I do too, and I can't
I love
wait.
It. I can't
for
wait.
It.
So next week will be the World Series. They'll play. They might even have Game 7 on Halloween, which would be amazing. If game
that
seven
would be
is on
so
Halloween.
Good. That I mean. You know, the kids have gotten the candy.
It's
going to
be a lot
over.
Of fathers
it's an 8
out
o'clock
there.
Game.
Not, there's going to be a lot of fathers not taking their kids out that night. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. All right, we're done. Come on, wrap it up. Get your juju bees. Do they, people even give out juju bees? I'm showing my age here.
I don't know.
Junior
I don't
mints.
Know. I don't know what the candies are.
But I hope Houston loses. I've never forgiven them for cheating. That was a that was bullshit what they did. That was organized. Everybody knew
it. Was kind of. And they paid the price. Well, what was it? The spring training, like nine, the following year, like nine guys in their first three games got hit.
Oh, that's right.
the whole league probably got together and said, we're hitting these guys, you know, for doing that. So they got kind of paid back. Imagine like after hitting eight guys, the ninth guy goes up to the plate going, I'm going to get beamed.
Yeah. I'm the number nine hitter. Why are you brushing me
they
back?
They just hit everybody. Like,
well, good.
You sons of bitches, you guys cheated.
Hey, that's frontier justice for you, man. That's what happens.
Well, that's what's great about, I know we're going off on tangents here, but that's what's great about baseball. Like, what other sport, maybe boxing, because what, Evander Holyfield got his ear eaten off, right?
But he didn't do anything
for that. What other sport can you do something that you really don't get penalized that bad? Baseball, you can hit a guy, he just goes to first.
Yeah.
But you can peg him right in the back, and maybe even you're not getting disqualified.
Well,
unless you go for his head or something,
right? But I what now sport you're the baseball expert, and so you know that. But I guess football
is a penalty. It's 15 yards.
But I've seen situations in baseball. I remember being down at Comerica where a tiger got beamed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty, and it was on purpose. And it was pretty clear. That at the beginning of the next inning, when the Tigers were pitching, right?
Yep. So now
that
the next first guy
Cleveland's going to get beat, and of course they got beat, and the pitcher got thrown out because the umpire was
waiting for it.
Yeah,
he knew.
Yeah. So there are consequences sometimes.
There is,
but sometimes
there is. No, you're right.
But baseball has those unwritten
isn't
rules,
that bad, right?
The right,
penalty's not that bad.
Right.
But then again, football. You could pull somebody's face mask and just rip it off his head.
Yeah.
It's 15 yards. That's
and then it's
it
done. It's over.
And it's done.
Yeah, that's the thing George Carlin used to talk about.
Foul, I guess, maybe. Boxing. I mean, you know this better than me, but when that bell goes off and the round is over, why hasn't anybody ever just walloped a guy? What would happen?
Oh.
If you knocked a guy out and the round was over.
Oh, knock the guy out.
But let's say you really hit him hard.
Well, he gets a point taken off for that round. So boxing is on what's called a 10-point must system, okay? The winner of the round gets at least 10 points, okay?
Okay.
The loser of the round gets 9 or fewer. So if you have a pretty even round, but the judges feel that one boxer landed, 50% more punches. That's a 10-9 round. All right.
Okay.
If you have a round where one guy dominates and knocks the other guy down, that's a 10-8 round. I've even seen 10-7 rounds where there's a couple of knockdowns. The guy got so shellacked that, it's a 10-7 round.
Yeah.
So, but in a situation like that, they won't call the fight. They won't say, okay, you're disqualified. Mm-hmm. Unless
it
the
was
boxer,
really bad, like 3 seconds later or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Or he runs across the ring and cold cocks him while, the round has been over.
Yeah. That, which,
so
I
they may
I've
say fight's over
yeah.
and they give it to the other guy. But that's really infrequent.
Rare, yeah.
But that, while we're talking about boxing, can we talk about the Tyson Fury?
Yeah, actually.
Deontay Wilder fight?
Actually, can I want to bring something up on that
fight.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I want to bring something up on that fight that I heard on television. So, and I want to get your take on this. So there was a part of the fight where actually Fury got knocked down.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
He ended up winning the fight.
He did. He went down
but
twice.
But there was a round where Fury got knocked down.
Yes.
And they said, I read about this, and they said that what happened was he was down. The ref starts counting. One, two, or does he go backwards? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does he go backwards? Or does
no,
he
they
go
count
up?
To ten.
They go up. Okay. Yeah. He's counting one, two, three. Now, there was a thing where Wilder had come over, so the ref had to turn and tell Wilder to go back to his corner, right?
Yep, that's right.
That might take 2 seconds.
That's right.
Then he comes back and he just goes back. He should have went to six, but he went four, five. And they talked about that, and they said there's a guy counting on the outside of the ring.
Yes.
And that's the count that should count.
Very good point.
Count.
I'm glad you brought it up.
So what's up with that?
Okay.
Did Wilder get screwed?
No, Wilder did not get screwed. Wilder was lucky he didn't have his head taken off his shoulders that night. He survived.
Yeah, I mean, he got
this
beat
is
up,
the third fight in a row that Fury beat him. He won the first fight. Okay, they called it a draw. And then he won the second fight by knocking him out, and he won the third fight by knocking him out.
He destroyed
So
and that guy's a good fighter.
Oh, he's a good fighter, but he's so ungainly. He's so odd, you know? It's just I mean, he's 6'9".
So big. He's
they're
just...
both. Yeah, he's 6'9", and
well,
I think
Wilder's
6'5" or 6'7". He's a huge guy. So, but regarding the count, all right. Here's the thing in boxing. Wilder messed that up himself, okay? Because when you knock a guy down, you go to a neutral corner. Okay.
You don't go to your corner?
No, you go to a neutral corner.
Or just go to the ropes or something?
You go to a neutral corner. It means don't go to his corner, don't go to yours, go to a neutral corner.
So you got
corner.
Two corners that you go to, basically.
Yes, right. Okay. So he f***ed up, and he didn't. So he prolonged that count. Now, I think Fury was going to get up anyway. He wasn't being
I
knocked
so,
out.
I think so, but...
So yes, but the point that I'm trying to make here is boxing is not... completely specific on whether it's 10 seconds or not. It's the count. The referee will count 1, 2, 3, right? It could be 9 seconds. It could be 12 seconds based on how the referee is counting.
Got
it's
it.
Not as precise as football.
It's not,
right?
It's not a shot clock in basketball.
Right, right. So
it's just that man-made. Was the, this is man-made.
Exactly.
However he counts. And
exactly. It's a lot like baseball in that respect, right? There's unwritten rules.
Yeah.
So the idea that Wilder could have won that fight, it's just a bullshit excuse that his camp levied at him or at Fury because they wanted to search for any reason to look. Wilder was getting knocked out.
Yeah,
no matter
I mean,
how
Fury wasn't hurt that bad.
No,
on that,
he was getting up.
Now, I know I've been watching boxing a long time. I know you've seen way more fights than me, but I don't ever remember when the count was over, they make the fighter put their hands up. I mean, did that just start recently? Or
no,
something?
No, that's
always been on?
Yeah, the guy who's
they
been
make
knocked
you
down.
Say, put your hands up?
Yes.
The, and show the ref, me that you know what the hell's going
yes,
on.
Yes, the ref grabs
your
hands.
Right,
yep. The
your
ref,
head is right.
Exactly. The ref grabs your, first of all, he wipes his gloves off. He wipes the fighter's gloves off on his shirt. He takes
Why does
their
he do that?
Because the guy's been down on the canvas, and that canvas has been used all night. There might have been 10 fights before it, and there's stuff on it.
There's the foot stuff.
I mean, you know, you have the...
Not a paper clip or something. But
anything that from the first, the 8 undercard fights, right? Now, they clean it off between fights, but this is boxing. They use the same ring. It's like having... 10 football games on the same field.
And it's just a canvas. So.
Yeah. So the ref does, first of all, he will take the guy who got knocked down, he'll take his gloves and he'll pull them toward him and he'll wipe them off on his shirt.
Okay.
And then he'll hold them together and look in the guy's eyes and say, are you okay?
Yeah, I heard that.
And if the guy answers affirmative, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. The ref knows, okay, we can continue. If he's not sure, he'll say, are you sure? How many fingers am I holding?
Got it.
And he'll show 2 or 3 or something. If a guy gets him wrong,
it's over.
He's like, he'll give him a little extra time. But it's usually over, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, Wilder answered and Fury answered in the affirmative every time. But the final knockdown where Fury... cuffed him with that right hand, that roundhouse.
Done. It was
oh my
absolutely
God.
Done. That was a great fight, by the way.
It was a great
phenomenal fight.
And Wilder was going to lose that fight. I don't care how many rounds it went.
He looked freaking bad towards the end, dude.
You know what? Can I say this? And I hate to say this about a guy who fights. Wilder has big brass balls. Anybody who can get in with Tyson Fury three times, anybody who gets in the ring has my undying respect. But he's a terrible fighter.
Yeah.
Deontay Wilder, it may be one of the worst heavyweight champions of all time. No footwork.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you guys were saying that as we were watching with your sons and stuff. You guys have all boxed. And
every single move he makes is just to land that right hand. Now, granted, it's great.
It's a powerful punch.
He put Fury on his ass a couple of times.
I saw a slow motion like shot. Well, I YouTubed it, and then this is Wilder's punch, not Fury's punch.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Wilder's punch. When he hit Fury in his head.
Yes.
He's a big guy, so yeah. I'm not trying to make fun of him. His body fat rolled.
Oh, it did.
Because of a headshot.
Yes,
shot.
Yeah.
That's how freaking far down
the impact is felt
impact.
Down to your toes.
Jesus.
And Fury, yeah, and that's a good point. Fury doesn't look like he's in shape, but he is.
No, he is.
He's
a bigger guy.
He's got an odd body shape. He doesn't have that muscular tone that Wilder does. Wilder looks like a fighter, but Fury is a fighter.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Man, that guy is a hell of a fighter, dude.
And
how
I
old
think,
is that guy?
I think they're both like 34. They're not old.
Okay.
But, you know, they're getting into the points of their career where it's getting, you know, the days are getting short.
Yeah.
They've both taken some punishment. But I don't think Fury's going to go on. He's going to have a great career. Wilder's done. I mean, he's been exposed for what he is, a very limited
heavyweight. What do you think Fury will do after boxing? Because he's so big. Will he be in movies? Will
he
do movies?
Yeah,
will
he could
be like that? Not what was
he's
that
so
big
charismatic.
Wrestler that the big wrestler that died? He was in Prince's Diary or whatever. The big wrestler.
Andre the Giant.
Will he be like that where he'll be in
Yeah, he could be he could do that. I mean, he's so charismatic, he's so funny, and he's so well spoken that he could do there's a thousand things he could do.
Sure, he can do whatever.
Wilder
can do some stuff too. Obviously.
I mean, he could,
if he wants
he's
to get
not,
into the...
he's just sort of an angry guy all the time.
Where is he from?
I don't know.
Yeah, I never knew where he... I've never heard him speak, so
I
don't know where he's from.
But here's the thing. Casual fight fans, if you want to understand the difference between Wilder and Fury, it's the same difference between Tyson and Holyfield when they fought, okay? Holyfield knocked the shit out of Tyson in both fights. Frustrated him so much that Tyson bit Holyfield's ear off, okay? And Holyfield was nothing but a gentleman in both of those fights and just went about his business and beat him twice. Okay, this is the same thing that happened in the Wilder-Fury fights. Wilder would never admit he was beaten. And he had his ass beat three times, Now, after the fight, Fury went over to his corner and said, "Hey, first of all, I hope you're okay. I want to congratulate you on a good fight." And Wilder said to him, "I don't have anything to say to you. I don't respect you.
Wow.
I'm not going to congratulate you." I mean, he actually said that. And you can look that up on the net. You can hear Wilder say that from his stool after getting his ass handed to him. And Fury just said, "Okay, man, I'm out of here." He walked away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't see much of a future for Wilder. Thank God he made a lot of money. Because he's not going to win in the heavyweight division anymore.
Yeah,
Anthony Joshua was going to clean his clock. Andy Ruiz would knock him out. His time is done. Fury's has just begun. That's my opinion.
Okay. All right. No, hey, man, you know your boxing, man. That was a great fight, though. I mean, I don't remember a fight with that magnitude of just absolutely those guys. I mean, they danced a little bit, but not much. They went, what was it, like, Fury had 750 punches landed to his 350.
Yeah, it wasn't that much. But it was a lot for a heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
It was, you know what it was? It was like, this was back in the 70s, the George Foreman, Ron Lyle fight. They each knocked each other down two or three times. And, you know, it was the last man standing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, it was a classic fight. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, it was
a
good fight.
You know, the better fighter won this time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great fight. Can't wait for the next one. And we can't wait for the next Sal and Bob show.
Can't wait. And by the way, speaking of the Sal and Bob show, I don't mean to dominate the mic here because I get all excited when we start talking boxing.
I wanted to ask you about that count because I read a story about it. I'm like, I got to ask Bob about this this guy, you know, the ref's counting, and then, you know.
Yeah. It's an imprecise science. I mean, for the sweet science.
What if the guy's counting and he gets a text from his wife? You know, hang on, Fury. Yeah.
Well, Fury didn't help himself because he didn't go to the right place and he set the count back. But anyway.
Yeah.
We have a heavyweight bout coming up. November 2nd at Jannetty's Hole in the Wall Theater.
It's November 11th.
Oh, November 11th. That's December 2nd. Excuse me.
Yeah, December 2nd, November 11th. Jannetty's, Jannetty'sNorthville.com. Yeah,
we're sold out.
Sold out. Such a great show. Great job to the comedians we had.
Who's on the gig that night? Go ahead.
November, we have Nate Armbruster, yep, our producer.
Very funny young fellow.
We have Chad Jagoda.
Yep.
Very funny guy. Wayne County, I believe he's a Monroe County Sheriff.
Okay.
In his real life, or he used to be. I think he might even be retired, but he's a funny dude. And we also have Tam White,
mm-hmm,
and she is hysterical. I actually worked with her at One Night Stands the last time I was at One Night Stands.
Okay, I'm looking forward to seeing
her.
She's
hilarious. They're all great comedians.
It's
going to be great. It's going to be a great show, and it's, what, $25?
It's $25.
Now, you can't
bucks.
Go to the November 11th show unless we might add another show, but right now, we don't have any room for it.
No, but for $25, listen to what you get. You get Sal and Bob, the two old dogs, right?
Yep, doing some stuff.
And then you get three... I don't want to say newbies. They're not newbies, but they're people that are right on the cusp of MC and feature work. Okay. And that's sort of a critical point in a comedian's career. Before you go from the opener to the middle, right? The sort of sweet spot in comedy. Cause you can't get to be a headliner until you get to be a middle. So all three of these people and all three of the ones we've had before. And in
December, we got a great lineup as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great. We'll tell you guys about that in November. But it's just a really, really cool little place. You know, everything about it is
Laura,
really cool. The stage
Jannetty
is amazing. The lights there are amazing.
You feel like you're on the stage
at the Fox Theater or something.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
So it's just it's good food. Like you said, Laura's great and her staff. It's a quaint little town in Northville. It's easy to get to for everybody that lives in Metro Detroit. It's just a fun, really fun room. I think we've, you know, our first one was a huge success, so it's just really fun to do. I'm glad we're helping people out. We're helping ourselves, but we're also helping people out because, God rest his soul, guys like Bill Hildebrandt helped both of us.
Sure, you know? He did. Yep.
And, he did. You know, so we're just
I had so much help, you know, in the beginning. Bill Bichard.
We still need help.
Connie,
you know, it's not like we're done getting help from people. You know,
people booking you on shows when you were green and you were just trying to figure out what your voice was.
Keeps you going.
And they put you in front of a paying crowd. That's a whole different deal than an open mic.
Listen, right? I did an open mic last week. I did one last Tuesday, and I got to give a shout out to those
guys.
Yeah,
you closed
Greg,
that, right?
Greg Sharp and Lisa Lyons, they do a great job with the comedy experiments. It's a little brewery in Dexter, Michigan, and the Beer Grotto, it's called. And it's a really, really good open mic. There's people there to watch comedy. Now, the thing is, you're seeing 10 to 12 comedians. Some of the people in the crowd will leave because they got to go home. So it's not, like you said, it's not a paid show where everybody's staying for the whole show.
Yeah.
Right? If you go to Traverse City to see you in One Night Stands, hopefully nobody walks out. It doesn't happen. If they do, it's because we piss somebody off with our joke. But normally people stay for the whole show. Well, not, these open mics, they don't. People come and go because it's just an open mic. So it's like you said, it's a very more difficult place to do your stand up. I actually did a set there, and it was hard because I went up last because I was the most seasoned guy.
And you're at a brewery.
And that's fine. And I tried new stuff, and I'm at a brewery, and people are drunk. But you know what? You're getting it out of your mouth. You're saying it, and you know.
Yeah, and that's a huge thing. And getting it out of your mouth. When you have a new joke, you have a new bit, whether it's a new one-liner or it's a five-minute bit. You have to speak it into the air before it can cement itself in your brain.
Not in your bathroom or not in your mirror.
It's got to be in front of a... And by the way, can we say this too? What other profession... do you work in a club one week and then a VFW hall the next week and then a brewery the next? Did they do opera in breweries? No. Do they do Broadway in a... No. Do they show movies in a brewery? No. We have to do these weird... look at all the places I've been at the end of a dock.
Yeah.
At a lake.
Yeah.
We've done bowling alleys. I got at this 420 club last night. I got high unintentionally.
Yeah, you're literally in a just a 420 club or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. You do all kinds of different kinds of gigs when you're doing this, and you just take them. Now I don't even sweat it anymore.
No.
I've done this.
How about that boat
gig?
Add
this another notch.
You and Bill Bouchard and I did.
It literally five on a boat. Years. Unbelievable.
And the freighters were passing.
Yeah.
And blowing their horns during our punchline.
Pizza boat coming with pizza. I mean, you cannot make this up. I mean, if we would have like YouTube these, we would be having clicks on YouTube right now.
Oh yeah.
Clicks on TikTok, you know, cause there are just so funny moments that if you're not videotaping it, you can't capture it, but you have it in your head. And look, how many gigs do you forget over your life, right? You forget a lot of gigs, but you remember those kinds of gigs. You
never
forget those, you know?
Yeah. When a pizza boat pulls up in the middle of the Detroit River and says, okay, stop, we have to deliver pizza. And I'm in the middle of a half hour set, and I have to wait until the pizzas are all distributed. Yeah. And then we get rolling again, and there's an ore freighter pulling up and drowns out my punchline. That's insanity.
Same gig, because I did about two or three of those, and I don't think it was on this one, because that would have been another horrible thing that happened that day. So I think it was another gig.
Horrible thing.
I did a show on that boat. Yeah, I think it was with, I think Keith Lenart was on this boat when I went to, well, I did the same thing that I did with you. One of the engines went out. We were going out towards Detroit. And all of a sudden the boats, like, we had just left Portofino's, like, we were only about 100 yards away, and all of a sudden the boat started turning around, and I had already done my MC set, so I go up to the I guess I got to call him the captain, but I go, hey,
Captain,
what are you doing?
Stubing.
He goes, dude, one of our engines is out. I got to turn around. So I go, you can't get to Detroit with one engine on this thing? He's like, I can't do it, dude.
Yeah.
He goes, because if that engine goes out, then we're screwed. Yeah. I said, okay.
Then you're going to have a four-hour show in the middle of the river.
So he turns around. He goes back to the Portofino dock. Well, I had to, you know, whoever was on stage or whatever is like, what's going on? So I had to interrupt him. I had to tell the crowd, our engine's out. It's cool. So we docked it at Portofino and just did the show docked. You know, where the boat started.
Yeah.
But we did it. It was fun. Everybody had a great time.
And you remember every minute of that, right?
I remember those two. The only two gigs I did on that boat was the one with you and the one where the engine blew. And I remember both of them, you know?
Oh, man. The things we do for laughs.
Well, listen, man, it's been a great show. Make sure you go to BobPhillips.com, SalDemillo.com.
We're so social, aren't we, Sally?
At SallyD08.
Aren't we social?
We're very social. We're on all the platforms. We have so many platforms, we don't even know which
platform
to go out on.
We're wearing platform shoes during the show.
Platform shoes. Go to TraverseCityComedyClub.com. I believe that's it, but just look up the Traverse City Comedy Club.
Yeah, go see my friend Sal at One Night Stands Comedy Club in Waterford.
Appreciate you guys listening to us. Absolutely, man. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you for our Halloween show next week. We'll have something planned.
It'll be spooktacular.
Spooktacular is right.
Good night.
God bless everybody.